Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Tuesday, April 9th. And we've got a national champion, and it's once again the UConn Huskies. Kind of an anticlimactic game. It was kind of spicy there for, I don't know, a half, maybe 22 minutes. But you could tell that this was going to be UConn's game. It was, you know, as they say, easy money. The casinos took a big-time bath on UConn. They inflated prices, and they covered every spread. Two straight years, they go 6-0 in the NCAA tournament, 6-0 against the spread. I mean, it's just an unbelievable run. I'll have some historical context there here shortly. I don't know if I'll lead with the NBA angle where there's a UConn connection with the way they defended Edie. But overall, I'll just say, like, it didn't feel like a huge college basketball game, right? Early on, it was like, oh, this is spicy. Jack Edie's going to work. Edie, he had like a Caitlin Clark start. Remember, Caitlin Clark comes out and she had like 18 points, I think, in the first half. I don't know. She basically went off early. Zach Edey did the same thing. He was all juiced up. He missed his first shot and then just went nuclear. And it was like, oh, if Edey gets to 40, they'll have a shot. And then you started to notice, well, wait a sec. Nobody's getting unlocked. Nobody's getting open. Oh, my gosh. It's halftime. And Purdue's attempted two three-pointers. What the fuck? College basketball team that's extremely prolific in three-point shooting. Number two in the country. And they've attempted 2 3-pointers. So this falls in. I'm going to cross sports analogy. Some of you will hate it. But this falls into the take what the defense is giving you, right? Patrick Mahomes, we talked about this. He went through that rough stretch where Patrick Mahomes' defenses were playing the too high shell and he just could not help himself and he wanted to keep chucking and it was turnover city. So then he adjusted and he took what the defense gave him. Underneath stuff, short and sweet, Travis Kelce, blah, blah, blah. You know, they reconfigured the offense and Mahomes solved it. And now, you know, now we have to throw another defense at Mahomes to try to screw with him because he's just too damn good. Well, I mean, essentially, UConn stayed true to their defense. They said, you know what? We're going to play Edie straight up with Klingon, as we predicted here. No surprise to anybody. They got a 7-footer of their own. As long as Klingon doesn't get in foul trouble, they should be fine. And Klingon played him straight up, 88, but nobody else got anything. And you're like, well, listen, unless this is going to be like 58-54 and Edie has like, you know, 42 points, there's no chance, right? It starts to settle in. So at halftime, I added a little bit to UConn -3 second half, which easily won. And it was just like a perfect defensive strategy. Danny Hurley, I even love this, Rob. It's small potatoes, but when the backup came in, Sampson, who's super active and rim running and a couple really nice dunks, When he came in, Hurley adjusted the defense and instantly ran a double at Edie. And if you haven't seen double teams for an entire game, you know, first 10 minutes, or you're not, you're just one-on-one, you're expecting one-on-one, you get the double, you're like a little flustered. And Edie, I remember this vividly, early second half. First pass, quickly threw it away, too high, turnover. Second one, he kind of lost control of the ball, bad shot, and then he committed a dumb foul chasing them down. The switch worked. It was just a genius move by Hurley. And I thought about the NBA, and I know, you know, the Lakers have a big one tonight against the Warriors. Huge game tonight. Massive, yes, I will likely be in the building. And I know that they don't need to do this against the Warriors, but I think about the Lakers in the playoffs, and all you think about is the Nuggets and Jokic and his dominance. And we talked about this last year, Rob. The Phoenix Suns lost the first two against Jokic in the playoffs last year. Then they went back to Phoenix, and if you guys remember, they decided, we're going to let Jokic eat. We'll give him whatever he wants. We're not doubling off MPJ. We're not doubling off Jamal Murray. We're not giving Aaron Gordon these rim-running alley-oop dunks. None of that. Jokic, you want to drop 40 on us? Go for it. I don't care. And the Suns played him straight up, and it worked. Now, here's the problem. This is a seven-game series, right? As opposed to a 40-minute game. It, you know, Edie and Painter, you know, Edie's a senior, Painter's a veteran coach. There wasn't enough time to adjust and get the shooters unlocked. They basically could not. Nobody was open. So there wasn't time to adjust in a one-game setting. Like they say, anything can happen. Well, I'll guarantee you nobody had Purdue going 1 of 7 from three. Nobody had that. I mean, if I had told you they were shooting 1 of 7, you would have put your mortgage, your kids' college tuition, everything on UConn. Probably should have done it anyway. But nevertheless, it was a genius strategy by Hurley, and I actually believe, Rob, that the Lakers should try this against Jokic. The problem, of course, is let's say you come out in game one and you do this, and let's say you stun the world and you get the upset in Denver, and Jokic has 45, but the Lakers win, and Murray's held to 16, and MPJ has 11, whatever the numbers are. And it's like the Lakers have kind of solved Jokic. Well, you know what? Malone is too good. The Nuggets are, now the Nuggets have been together for a while. You know, this core has been together, I think, since pretty much the bubble with some little tweaks here and there. KCP was like a late add, but this core has been together. The coaching staff, they're too smart, Rob, to see the Lakers say, oh, they're going to give it to Jokic and let him eat. That's fine. They'll still be able to unlock in a seven-game series, which makes it so tough. But in a one-game setting, I thought UConn did a masterful job. Edie finished with 37-10. 37 points on 25 shots. The problem is the rest of the team did nothing. Braden Smith was locked up as predicted by my guy Castle. I'm in love with Castle's game. Oh my gosh. The guy's just spectacular. I know he didn't shoot the three well, 1 of 4. Everything about this kid's talent, and he's just oozing. And it's like when a really good women's player goes to UConn, she's going to win titles. And she, you know, she's probably looks like a really good player, most outstanding. We saw, like, I'm curious, Rob, are you at the level of, oh, I wonder what Caitlin Clark would have looked like on UConn. I wonder what Castle would have looked like on, I don't know, Alabama or whatever. Would he have been like a 25-a-game guy? Because he has that potential. It's there. He's just in a system playing with really good players, good coaching. He's going to be a pro. But I guess the big picture, Rob, I love the strategy against Edie. And I think the Lakers almost certainly will employ that at some time. I don't know that it'll work in a full seven-game series. Jokic is friggin' masterful. Edie, you know, he's not going to figure that out because he's not seeing a lot of single coverage, you know? Everybody else is doubling. They have to because he's 7'4". So, unique situation, interesting game. The Purdue run was spectacular. They will not be here next year. UConn is going to lose, I think, 6 of their top 7 players to graduation or NBA draft. So their two-year run is over. We'll put it in context. But, Rob, any thoughts on this masterful job against Edie?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those situations where we talked about on yesterday's podcast. It was eerily similar, as you alluded to the Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina, where everybody knew that Zach Edie was the best player in this game. It was evident within the first 3.5-4 minutes of the game that Zach Edie was going to get his. Like, you know, Klingon is a very good player. He's a good NBA prospect, probably a better NBA prospect than Edie, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But just one-on-one, Edie's going to be able to be more effective than not. and he did exactly like you expected him to. However, a great team of five plus players is always going to beat a single great player. That's just the way things are. It happened to Caitlin Clark. It happened to Zach Edey. Hell, it happened to LeBron James in the finals against the Warriors all those years. Like, LeBron singularly was better than anybody else on that floor, but the collective, the unit of Golden State was just, you know, too much. And my favorite stat from this game, I wrote it down because the final numbers ended up being different. But through the first 30 minutes of action, when the game was, I'm not going to say that it was in doubt, but before it was really salted away and the rest was kind of garbage time, Purdue had four total assists through 30 minutes. And if that's not executing your game plan to perfection, I don't know what is. You alluded to it. Zach Edey, we can't stop him. We just got to admit that. But what we can do is we can slow down the rest of these guys, because Purdue, I believe in the last round, made 10 three-pointers. And that was the biggest difference for them getting to the national championship game. In this game, last night, their seven attempts total was the fewest for any team in a title game since 1995.
Wow.
Their makes, which was one, the fewest since 1992. They had their game plan. Zach Edey, get yours. You alone are not going to be able to beat the rest of us. Therefore, we'll give you 40 and 15. We'll give you 50 and 15, whatever. The fact is, Zach Edey, 40 points is not going to make up the 70 plus that we're going to drop on your head. So, masterful job by UConn.
I didn't know it was that bad. Jeez, the three-point attempt, super low. A buddy of mine who is on the East Coast texted me, J-Mac, you've got to talk about the Big East lack of respect. The Big East won the NIT with Seton Hall, and they won the NCAA tournament with UConn, and they only got three teams into March Madness. And I was like, well, that's a really good take. You know, I'm from Big East country, grew up right around the Georgetown area. And I was always a Big East fan. It's not what it was, obviously. And I don't want to like go down a rabbit hole and, you know, cry crocodile tears about my Marquette Golden Eagles going down.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Hankook tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Hankook test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA season is in full swing, and when I can't get enough of the action on the court, I spice things up betting on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, new customers bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. This week, we got some huge games coming up with playoff implications, highlighted by a Tuesday night showdown between the Lakers and the Warriors. You know, I love my guy Steph, but the Lakers are favorites for a reason. We saw LeBron sit out on Sunday night almost to get ready for this one. Lakers playing at home. They've been playing great ball of late. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code STRAIGHTFIRE. The crown is yours. So in regards to historical dominance, so this UConn's team, largest margin of victory ever for a tournament, and apparently KenPom has some metrics that talk about offensive efficiency, and this UConn team is the greatest offensive efficiency, and you have to go all the way back, hold on, this Duke team that was just insanely loaded, you have to go all the way back to the Duke Blue Devils in 2001 to find a team that was more efficient offensively. 2001. Now, Rob, this is my favorite part. So this 2001 college basketball was still the really good players go for a couple years. Now, that team won their first game by 43. Then they beat Missouri by 13, beat UCLA by 13, USC by 10, Maryland by 11, and they stomped Arizona by 10. So double-digit wins in all of them. Just an absolute truck. And here were the guys on their team, okay? Jay Williams, Shane Battier, Mike Dunleavy, Carlos Boozer, Chris Duhon. Five NBA guys. They also had Nate James, this guy Casey Sanders, who was 6'11". And then Obama's buddy Reggie Love was on that team, okay? Five NBA players were on that team. Now, the even better team with an offensive metric for KenPom was the 1999 Blue Devils. Now, I'm bringing up Duke for a reason. 99 Duke. I don't know if you were even born yet. You're so young. obviously, you were born in 1999. They had Elton Brand, Trajan Langdon. Trajan Langdon, when I was a kid, was just an unbelievable gunner. William Avery, point guard who didn't really pan out in the pros. Corey Maggette, who had a nice run in the pros. Chris Carawell, wing guy. And then Shane Battier was a young guy on that team. They also had Chris Burgess, Nate James. I mean, those Duke teams were awesome. Here's the thing, Rob. You can make a credible argument that over the last 25 years, UConn has been the most dominant program in college basketball. Not Duke, not Kentucky, not North Carolina, but UConn. I mean, you know, when you think of blue blood, oh, UCLA and Kentucky and all. I don't think UConn's considered a blue blood, but here they are the last 25 years. They have six championships. Six. Now, I have never been to Storrs, Connecticut. Have you, Rob?
Never.
Okay. I hear it's kind of a dump. And like, it's not, you know, an international mecca. There's not a lot to do there. I am wondering why on earth so many people go there. And I guess the basketball program from Calhoun and now trickling on down to Hurley is just a juggernaut. I mean, six in 25 years is spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what's funny is, I mean, just in context, for the six championships, since 1999, they got six. UConn and Carolina each have three. Kansas, Villanova, Florida have two.
And then wait. Duke and UNC have three, right?
Yes, three each, yes.
Okay.
Kansas, Villanova, Florida have two. And then one each for Michigan State, Maryland, Syracuse, Kentucky, Louisville, Virginia, and Baylor. So to say that they have been the most dominant college basketball program in the last 25 years would be an understatement. Like, it's not even close. You'd have to combine Duke and Carolina, or hell, combine Kansas, Villanova, and Florida together to get to what this team is doing. I mean, one of my favorite things that came out on Twitter last night after the game, there was this viral video of Dan Hurley in 2020 after they lost to Villanova in a regular season game. And his quote was something along the lines of, "People better get us now. You better get us because it's coming. Like, the train's coming. I know it's not looking like much right now, but just watch out." Since that game, UConn, 105-29, back-to-back national championships, including 12 straight tournament victories by at least 13 points. The next closest team in college basketball history has six games like that. All right? This team is an absolute juggernaut. It reminds me, I know this is not an exact comparison, but that Villanova team led by Jay Wright in the 2018 or 2015, 2018, like in that little range, they had a run there. I think they won 2 of 3 years. Now, they weren't getting, at least to my knowledge, they weren't getting the guys that Duke and Carolina and Kentucky were getting, right? But they,
yeah.
What they did have was a perfect combination of we are going to win at a high level. We're going to be in the mix for a championship every single year. On top of that, we are going to prepare you for NBA basketball. Now, 2016, 2018, Villanova, we knew that they were a good team, but I don't think people realize, looking back on it now, those teams had Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, DiVincenzo? Eric Pascal, and Amari Spellman. Vincenzo was on those teams too, right? Yeah. Now, outside of Jalen Brunson, and I guess you can say Bridges, but I mean, none of those guys were like super duper high-end recruits, right?
Yeah.
They were all brought in, developed, they wanted a high clip in college, and they became consummate decade-plus-long NBA players. I think that's what they're projecting as. UConn is doing the exact same thing. Like, Jordan Hawkins was the guy who kind of started it last year. He was the one who won the late lottery. This current team's probably got three guys who might go in the lottery. I don't know if any of them are going to be superstars the same way that the Duke guys and the Kentucky guys were, you know, back in their heyday.
Yeah.
But like those Villanova players, they're going to be in the NBA for a long time. The way that they play at UConn, the fundamentals and the way that they're taught the game are things that are going to translate to the next level. They may not pop and become the all-NBA player, but I promise you, you're going to wish you had one of these guys on your team because they're going to be high-level players for a very, very long time.
Yeah, it feels like it's a culture play, right?
As yes.
opposed to just going after the highest-rated recruits or hitting the transfer portal. I will add this, though. The kid, I think his name, Spencer? I was texting a bunch of guys and everybody's like, who's this white guy who's everywhere? Kid Spencer. So I looked him up on UConn. He was not a superstar high school recruit. And I mean, you guys are going to love this. 6'4" white guy, you know, solid shooter, 44% from threes, really good actually. 91% from the line, probably a coach's son. This is what I do during the NCAA tournament. So I look him up. He's 24 years old. He just turned 24 2 days ago. This is his third college. He started out at Loyola of Maryland, not Loyola Chicago. Okay, Loyola Maryland. That's a low D1 school. Nothing wrong with that. Then he transfers to Rutgers last year, and he has a good year. You know, very good player. Put up solid numbers at Rutgers. Shot the three well. And then the big boys come calling, right? This is the new model in college basketball. Hey, you know what? Go to a low D1, work on the fundamentals, get your game right. Obviously, get good right in the classroom. And as you grow, you kind of climb the ladder. Now, I can't say this is going to be for everyone because, like, I don't know, Cam Spencer, he's probably going to be working at Deloitte in 6 months, right? And wrecking people in a men's league. If you come out here, Cam, you know, the Gray Fox is always looking for, for some talent. But then, like, I don't think he's going to be a pro. Maybe he goes to Turkey and makes some money. I don't know. But, like, there's immense value in those guys because, A, as Rob was saying, like, they are a culture guy. I'm going to come in and I'm going to do things the right way. I'm 24 years old. This is my last shot, bro. I'm not trying to impress NBA scouts, right? I got nowhere to go after. This is my last year of eligibility. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to limit turnovers. I'm going to make my free throws. I'm not going to force bad shots. I'm going to hustle. Those are like all the things you want in a player. And it felt, I don't know, Rob, like you kind of had like five of those guys. I mean, yeah. The kid Diarra, who came off the bench, number 10, I think he almost had a block. He's the 6'2 little guard coming off the bench. I think he had a block, maybe, of Edie, or was close to it, but he got called for a foul. He's another guy. He's been around the block. He was at Texas A&M. Now he comes to UConn. And like, I think he maybe has 1 year of eligibility left, so he's probably 23. But it's like, those guys have immense value. Now, finding them, that's not easy. But Danny Hurley has done a phenomenal job. Now, we talked a little bit about Kentucky and how UConn's not technically a blue blood. But in one of the, I think, biggest shockers. Now, as we record this, I have still not seen it official that John Calipari is going to Arkansas. But every reporter and their mom late, I guess late Sunday night, early Monday morning were saying, It's a formality. It should be done. And maybe Calipari said, you know what? I'm sorry for interrupting the college basketball championship. Let's let UConn and Purdue have their moment, and I'll wrap it up at some point Tuesday, and we can go about our business. But John Calipari leaving Kentucky for Arkansas, it is a bit of a stunner. One thing that Kentucky never developed, and we know this, was culture. It was like, we're going to bring in one and dones, and we're going to everybody's going to want to come here because the one and dones are going to go to the pros, and I put 50 guys in the NBA or whatever the number is. He got one title. And if you stacked, Rob, the Connecticut players against the UConn players over the last 25 years, and it was like, you know, a team of 12, what do you think Kentucky's favored by, 15? And that's no disrespect, but like, I'm talking like the creme de la creme of the NBA. Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, John Wall. John Wall had a great run. Who else? I mean, they got so many dudes. And yet Kentucky has one title under Calipari because they never developed a culture. Now he's going to go make a lot of money at Arkansas and retire in his mid-60s in Fayetteville. Enjoy it. I'm sure it's lovely. I wonder what route Kentucky's going to take here. Obviously, they're going to take a step back in getting top-tier recruits. But what, like, where do you go? Oates from Alabama said no. Jay Wright said no. I guess you throw the bag at Hurley. I don't know if he leaves. Although you could argue, what does he have left to prove? And also, the cupboard is kind of empty in UConn as they're going to lose six of their top seven guys. I don't know. My gut tells me finding a culture guy is going to be difficult. Maybe you pluck a mid-major up-and-coming coach, but that's a lot of pressure to follow Calipari, Rob, as a mid-major guy. And, oh, by the way, you're going to be losing, like, I'm sure you're all your top players. And, you know, is Drake going to be back on the bandwagon? I don't know. It's certainly not going to be easy. You have any names you want to float, Rob?
Well, the guy that I was most excited about was Jay Wright from Villanova. Mm-hmm. And apparently I wasn't the only one who thought that, because he brought it up right in the middle of the podcast last night saying, no, I'm not interested. You know, I'm retired. I'm not coming back to coaching. Because in order to step in Kentucky and be successful, you're going to need a guy who's established, right? Even a guy like Dan Hurley, as great of a coach as I believe that he is and a culture builder that he is, I don't know if you're going to be able to hit the ground running in Kentucky. Kentucky has been built off one and dones since John Calipari has been there. Already, since it's been announced or leaked that he's moving to Arkansas, you've already had guys announced they're transferring. You don't have players waiting in the wings at Kentucky right now. So unless you're going to poach all of these transfer portal guys, like in the first season, it's going to take you 2, 3, 4 years to kind of build up the equity within the program, right? So whoever you get is going to have to be a masterful recruiter right off the bat. And you're going to have to go in with the expectation, which is tough in Big Blue Nation, that this is not going to be a quick fix. Like, we're going to have to tear this down to the studs and rebuild, because the culture that we've had in place for the last 15 years no longer works in college basketball.
The one name, I don't know how, I haven't followed it super closely, but I would keep an eye on Iowa State's TJ Otzelberger, who is considered up and coming. He's 46 years old. He's from Wisconsin. He was an assistant at Iowa State and Washington. And he then came back to be a head coach at like UNLV and did well. And then Iowa State. And they were the number 2 seed there. They won the Big 12 tournament. And here's the interesting thing, Rob. If you're talking about hitting the portal, Iowa State, if the guys love the coach, which they clearly do, they play hard, their brand of basketball is not beautiful, but it's successful, they could have 3 or 4 guys from Iowa State just leave and follow their coach. Now, I know, you know, it seems unlikely that 4 of them would leave. Iowa State would probably do their best to not let the kids go or find a coach quickly, but maybe promote from it within. But this guy's, I mean, he's considered one of the better recruiters in the nation. And I don't know. I just, that's kind of a guy I would target if I were Kentucky. Again, not one of the sexiest names out there. But it's a guy who's, I think you need to go a little younger, right? I don't think you can go for an old head.
Right. Would Kentucky, the Kentucky fan base, tolerate a non-marquee name hire?
Yeah,
because that's kind of their problem, is that they are living in that Adolph Rupp, you know, era of basketball where they believe that they are a blue blood, even though they have, what, two championships in the last, what, 25, 30 years? Like, it's kind of like UCLA basketball. Like, I'm a UCLA fan, and I could admit, no, we're not, you know, what we think we are. You know, the term blue blood gets thrown around, like, because we won back when there was nine teams in the tournament, and you know, we kept winning it that way. We had the two of the greatest collegiate centers of all time back to back. But in today's world of college basketball, like, we're not that. And Kentucky still thinks that they are. And I don't know if they're going to be able to tolerate, you know, even if that is the correct hire, but hiring someone that doesn't have that name recognition that everybody's looking for these days.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't want to say stuff that's going to get me in trouble, but sometimes everybody is pushing for a certain name, a popular guy, a big name, and that's not always the right move, you know? And I know I've said many times, you don't want to follow a legend. Like, who wants to follow Dan Marino? Who wants to follow Tom Brady? There's no chance of being successful. The weird thing is, Calipari was a successful recruiter, but he didn't win a lot in March.
Right.
And frankly, his last 3 years, who'd they lose to? They lost to Oakland, to St. Peter's in two of the last 3 years, right?
Yep.
So, like, I almost think, like, the name Calipari has more clout than the actual results, if that makes any sense.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of General tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their General Tire test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's quickly pivot to the NBA just because tonight is going to be kind of lit in the league. And the NBA did a good job of scheduling some damn good games the night after the Natty. So as like an appetizer, you get Celtics Bucks. This feels like a great buy low spot on the Bucks. Boston now favored in Milwaukee. At some point, the Bucks are going to put it together. That's a good game. That's the early tip. And then in the night games, you get actually three really good games. Kings Thunder matters a lot. The Kings are fading fast, which is good news because I just will repeat, as Rob and I have said for weeks, you do not want the Lakers to face the Kings in any sort of play-in scenario. It is a bad matchup. Now, I know the Red Velvet got hurter. That might be a win for the Kings. Doesn't look it on paper, as they've struggled recently. But like he's not really a factor against the Lakers. It's a Malik Monk show. Kings Thunder is a big game with like four games left in the season. Of course it's big. And Suns Clippers is massive as the Clippers continue to fade. And listen, folks, it's not crazy that the Mavs, if the Mavs win tonight against the Hornets and they're favored by double digits on the road, if they win and the Suns are able to beat the Paperclips, you're now looking at the Mavericks, I think, being one game back. And those two are 4-5. So the Mavs could go from play-in like 3 weeks ago to, oh my gosh, they're going to host a first-round series. And then the big game, the biggest game, is Lakers-Warriors. We still have not seen a report on Anthony Davis. Everybody suspects he's going to play. LeBron, much to the chagrin of Rob, sat out Sunday's loss to the Timberwolves. I'm assuming he was resting up for this. This is a big one. The Lakers need to get this dub, and they don't want to be in the 9-10 play-in game, obviously. And I think this is going to be a good game. I'm hoping to be in the building. Should be a fun one. Any thoughts, Rob, on those four games tonight, heading into a big night in the NBA?
I'm so excited for tonight's games. I mean, I know that everyone was supposed to be jacked for the NCAA National Championship game, but because of the way the game played out, you know, as most of these UConn games were, there was an air of inevitability that kind of made it less exciting, I guess, for me. But these games tonight, so many of them have playoff implications because, as you alluded to, the Western Conference is just jam-packed like a sandwich. Like, any loss on one given night can drop you from 6 to 8 immediately, right? So I'm very, very excited for these games. Kings Thunder, I know Malik Monk, you mentioned it. He's hurt right now, which sucks for the Kings. And the Kings and the Pelicans are kind of going through the same thing right now where they're down so many key players at the worst possible time that they're both kind of in free fall mode. But the Lakers got to get this one against the Warriors. That's the one I'm obviously looking forward to. That's the one I'm going to be watching the most intently. Who knows if Anthony Davis is going to play? If he does, I hope he's wearing those Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles because he keeps getting poked in the eye these days. And
it's Jabbar
goggles. And LeBron, you know, supposedly was sick, and that's why he went home on Sunday, and that's why he didn't end up playing against Minnesota. So, LeBron, whatever you had, NyQuil, you know, emergency, double, triple it up, take some zinc, get out there because we need this win. We do not want to be in the 9-10 playing game.
Yeah, yeah. So big week in the NBA. Because the Final Four went so well and the Natty for me gambling-wise, I was actually starting to look at the Masters. Do you do any... Are you up to speed on golf, Rob?
I went golfing on Monday morning. What are you talking about?
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't play very well, but I was out there in the streets.
Holy
swinging
cow.
The irons
so you,
around.
That's right. You went to Vegas and played golf.
I did play in Vegas, yeah.
So are you getting good or what?
I mean, define good. Am I good enough where I'm not going to totally embarrass myself?
I'll say under 85 is good.
Oh, then hell no. I'm not good. You know how few people shoot under 85?
That's a good, but maybe I'm wrong because I haven't played in a long time. I just threw out a number that's like 13 over par. I have a buddy, well, a dad friend, who entered some LA tournament and finished like top 10.
Wow.
It's weird. Some of the I'm the weirdo, Rob, who, for whatever reason, kind of gravitates toward people who are like good at sports and kind of become friendly with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this dad I know, he actually went to Yale. He was like a high school quarterback, a basketball player, but golf is his thing now. He doesn't do any other sports and he's pretty good. I mean, he's locked in on golf. I just, it's a little too slow for me. You want to do bowling? I'm in. I'll even try.
Bowling is more fast paced than golf?
Yeah. You're up in bowling every like 2 minutes. Or less.
Same thing with golf.
There's a lot of walking and waiting, and I don't. You could bowl 3 games, and you know if you're with 3 buddies, so and you go bowling, you're out of there probably in 90 minutes. You get a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
Crappy food, but a lot of action. You go golfing. How long did the 18 or 9 holes?
18 holes.
How long did it take? It
took about 4 hours and 15 minutes.
My gosh.
I'm honestly surprised that you haven't gotten into golf. Like, I understand the men's league because, you know, you like basketball, number one, but it's a good exercise as well. I'm surprised that you went into tennis more than golf only because you already have the aerobic exercise with basketball. And given, you know, the area that you live and the people that you associate yourself with, I would imagine that there's more deals and things being done on a golf course than on a tennis court.
Yeah, that's certainly right about that. I will go golf. It's not really that fun to me. I don't find it super, like when you hit a great shot, you know, how's your drive, by the way? Is it shanking or is it straight?
It's left to right always. So when I hit it straight, I'm hitting it like 260.
Wait, how long? 260?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That's good.
But when I don't hit it straight, it's like hooking right, and then it fails at like 220. So it's a big difference.
You're ripping it. So is this your... By the way, golf's expensive, man.
It's very expensive. Yeah.
Like, how much is a round? I don't even know how much a round is.
I mean, we played midweek at like 9 a.m. Pacific time, and it was $60 a person.
$60 for the golf, and then what else? Like, what are the other costs?
And then plus I have to buy my own, you know, I have own my own clubs, the balls, the bag, all that stuff.
Did you guys do the cart or walk?
Of course we use the cart.
So, and the cart
costs...
I'm not good
enough to be walking it, because, you know, if you spray it, you're walking all across the course.
How much is the cart?
It's included.
Oh, that's not that bad then.
No.
$60 a person? But
that's one of the local, like, municipal courses. If some of the other nicer courses, like the one I played in Vegas... That one midweekend, because there was a storm, I got it super cheap, and that one paid $110.
Ooh.
So imagine doing that.
Well, it's spread out over 4 hours, not the end of the world.
Yeah, but imagine doing that two or three times a month, plus the cost of the clubs and the balls and the equipment. So suddenly, like, a hobby becomes a car payment, basically.
What does the wife say about that?
She don't like it. I mean, but I don't do much else. So she spends the money on the day-to-day, and I kind of space mine out on the week-to-week.
Yeah, if she said, dude, why don't you take up tennis? It's super cheap. Basketball. Yeah. All you got to do is belong to a gym. And then the shoes. You got to get the shoes. If you're playing a lot. Bro, I got to start playing again. Anyways, we're rambling now. Congrats to UConn. I'm very curious what happens with Zach Edey in the draft. Speaking of draft, NFL draft in less than 2.5 weeks. Masters this weekend. Big NBA night. We're back tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.